Saddle up, partner.
This is the Voices of the West.
Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And here we are once again on another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. Afternoon to all, wherever you may be listening and viewing. My name's Harry Alexander. With me in studio here is my good friend Bunker de France.
Say howdy. Hi. Howdy, Harry.
Alrighty. And we're supposed to be talking with author H. Allen Day today. And we're waiting on him to give us a phone call.
I hope he's not taking a nap.
Me too. But this guy is pretty incredible. We had him on, I can't recall if we had him on the Voices of the West program or on Joe Dreyfus's visit sometime back. And we talked about, he's got three books out. One about Mustangs. And the other one, it's Lazy Bee, it's the ranch. And then his latest one is called Cowboy Up, Life Lessons Living at the Lazy Bee. Day is the brother of retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who was the first female Supreme Court justice and from Arizona.
Pretty good for a ranch girl.
No kidding, huh? And so the two of them grew up on the Lazy Bee, and it was situated in southeast Arizona. Now, I've got some information here about this. This is from the Amazon website. H. Allen Day was raised on and managed the 200,000-acre Lazy Bee Ranch in southeastern Arizona. With his sister, Sandra Day O'Connor, he co-authored the New York Times best-selling Lazy Bee, Growing Up on a Cattle Ranch in the American Southwest. His second award-winning memoir, A Horse Lover, or The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs. And he tells the story about creating the first government-sponsored wild horse sanctuary and caring for and training 1,500 wild Mustangs.
He taught a few lessons on how to do that to the BLM.
I reckon he did. Yeah. And his co-author on this these endeavors, and I hope I don't assassinate her last name, is Lynn Weese. I'm going to go with Sneed.
Well, I would go Lynn Weese. Sneed,
okay. She's a professional writer and owner of the LWS Literary Services. It's an agency specializing in editing, ghostwriting, and book publicity.
Right here in Tucson.
Uh-huh. And she also serves as the literary consultant for the giant Tucson Festival of Books. Now,
She did a good job.
I know, huh?
Yeah.
To get a flavor of how good this latest book is, Cowboy Up, we turn to our good friend Johnny Boggs, who says, you don't have to be a cowboy or even want to be a cowboy to enjoy this fun, wild, and entertaining ride. Folksy, honest, funny, touching. Cowboy Up puts life in perspective. And that's from Mr. Boggs, six-time Spur Award-winning author of Hard Winter and Legacy of a Lawman.
8 or 9 Spurs. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I just wonder, you think Mr. Allen is waiting for us to call him?
No, he's
he said he'd call
he's
us.
Supposed okay. to call us, so okay. we're gonna hang out here and
we'll just malign him until he calls and straightens us up.
Right, we'll just talk about him because that's kind of that is kind of what we do. So you've read both of these books because when I get them, I give them to you because you're a much faster reader than I am, and you digest them a hell of a lot faster than I do, too.
Well, so, you know, they're hard to chew, though, Harry, when you digest them. But, yeah, you know, this is a great experience. That, to me, is one of the great benefits of doing this show, is I get exposed to some really wonderful writing. And I have to say, and this is just my personal assessment of Cowboy Up, but I guess, as you might say, out in the South 40, it's the real deal. Mm-hmm. You know, He's braggadocious like a cowboy's braggadocious. He's humble like a cowboy's humble, but he's straight. There's no, you know, there's no BS. There's no, there's no phony stuff in there. It's all up and up. It's the real, real deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I might point out for anybody that's interested in getting the cowboy book up, Cowboy Up Life Lessons, it's published by Morgan James Publishing, and it's out in paperback and an ebook, and so you'd be able to probably get it at Amazon or I picked up the Sandra Day book with him at the library, so, and I know they've got a couple of the other things. Unfortunately, one of the books was checked out, which is good. I checked out the other one, and the third one's in another library across town.
Well, I guess you're just going to be holding them all now.
Yeah, watch out.
Holding the bag. Yeah, these are available in Kindle and in paperback at Amazon.com, and all you have to do is search up for H. Allen Day, and you'll come across them. So.
Yeah. This is a brand new book too. This is copyrighted this year, so you're getting something really fresh, hot off the press, or hot off the griddle.
Whatever the case may be, I guess.
Well, let's see. Let me look at some of my notes here and see how I can mangle them.
All right.
Okay. Well, we covered some of the historic Lazy Bee Ranch. Oh, one of the things about the Lazy Bee, the brand, is it's a bee laid on its back, and for folks that know ranch brands, they would know that's a lazy bee. For you other folks, that's the way you read it. It's a lazy bee. It's a bee laying on its back.
Okay.
Not a bumblebee, but the letter B. And let's see, what else we got here? Oh, there is a video tour of the Lazy Bee. It texts Cowboy 266866. And I'd like to see that myself. And Alan is a third-generation Arizona rancher. The ranch itself is located in the Duncan Valley, and Duncan itself runs at an elevation of around 3,600 feet, so that's high desert. And when do we see? Oh, there's a. I wish he was here because I got a note here. Grandfather and Geronimo. There's something to do, and I can't remember it right offhand, but his grandfather had some kind of meetup or some kind of something or other to do with Geronimo, which is really vague.
Wow.
And I wish it was here. Okay. Now, his dad built a ranch up to 200,000 acres, and it's straddling eastern Arizona and western New Mexico south of the Gila River.
Yeah. Well, 200,000 acres, that's a big chunk of land, isn't it?
Well, from what I understand, and I don't know the status of the ranch now since it's been sold, but at the time he was running it, it was one of the biggest ranches in southern Arizona.
Wow, even bigger than the Empire. Let's back up. When did he start when did the Day family begin with that particular
somewhere
ranch?
In my notes, I was going to get there, but it was in around 1870. I'm guessing right now. I'll straighten that
up. So about the same time as the Empire.
Empire was 1876. If it was 1870, it was just a little prior. One of the things is that it was. It became possible because of the Gadsden Purchase, because the ranch itself sits entirely within the Gadsden Purchase, which, Joe, at that time, it was part of the New Mexico Territory.
And that's to our good friend,
I might get him to call in here, yeah. Yeah, in fact, Joe, if you're listening, you want to butt in on us, we're more than welcome, because you know, I think you've had conversations with him, and you might be able to give us some insight that we don't have, or
exactly
unprotected information.
Well, now, if somebody does wish to call in and shoot the breeze with us, you can do so at 844-908-WEST, 844-908-9378. That's a toll-free number. Hooks you up right fast to us here, and we'll be more than happy to shoot the breeze with you. And, you know, I guess what we'll do is we'll keep going on this topic until our first break, and if Mr. Day does not call us by then, we'll go ahead and move on to something else.
Something else, okay, and save this for another time.
Exactly, because, you know, it's good stuff, and that's what this program is all about.
But it's richer when he's here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got the stories. I mean, yeah. The whole show, the premise of the show is about the Old West and the cowboys. Mm-hmm. And like we say, if it has anything to do with the Old West, we're on it.
The history, the heritage, and legacy.
That's right. Movies, television, music. I mean, we try and cover it all. Don't know that we're always successful with it, but that's what we do.
But we have fun, and if we don't entertain you, we might confuse you.
See?
Either way, we're ahead.
That's right. We're good at doing that stuff. So.
Yeah.
This
is one of the kind of neat things in reading this. All of a sudden, I realized that him and I are about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably born around 1939, 40, 41. So I'm thinking we're about the same age.
Okay.
He came over to the U of A about the same time I was going into the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that he mentioned in the book, he says, as a kid growing up, the only ranch rule was to be home by supper. I read that and I went, hey, I had the same rule.
Well, I know I had the same role, too, when I was growing up, but I grew up in the city.
Yeah.
Tucson, you know, at that time was a burg, but...
It was a lot better then.
Yeah, but the point being, folks said, be home by supper.
And you could also, within, if you had a bike or a horse, you could be out in the desert in no time at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
exactly.
is cool. The other thing, too, is we both grew up just a little bit off of U.S. 70, the old state highway, you know, U.S. highway that ran, mm-hmm. And it was a major road through Ruidoso and, you know, the Mescalero, the reservation from mm-hmm. Alamogordo up to Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
And 70, you know, there's probably a program on U.S. 70 alone, because almost everything along 70 was ranches from coast to coast, just about.
Well, they did a TV show on Route 66.
Yeah, I think this would be more interesting. Two guys trying to figure out a way to get to the next town, you and I.
Well, you know, yeah, we could do our own show that way either that way or on horseback or wagon. The trails and travails that we encounter along the way.
The foibles of foolishness.
I can see it now.
But yeah, I thought that was so neat. I wanted to ask him, because when he was here going to the U of A, of whether he worked on any of the movies that were shot in the area at that mm-hmm. time, because they've always, you know, the local extras, they've always utilized guys from the U of A, and the U of A had some pretty good cowboys going there from up north and down around here, you know, some of the ranches. I know the Ohaco family, they all from around Winslow, they all went to the U of A,
mm-hmm.
and probably, you know, there's a chance he did, or there's maybe even a chance he went to school with one of them.
You never know.
Oh. Well, let's see what else we got. Well, he managed the ranch for 40 years, and you asked me earlier, but they sold the ranch in 1994.
Okay.
And I guess one of the things about it, when his dad passed away, he went from being a family-owned ranch to a ranch corporation because of the brother and two sisters that were, you know, the other heirs, and the father was the manager and ran the ranch.
That seems to be a something that happens quite frequently
mm-hmm.
With many of these ranches that were big time back in the day, and when, I don't know, is it because times got tough, or what do you think
well,
the reasons might be?
I think a lot of that is, you know, from my experience anyway, is that, you know, growing up on a ranch, that's wonderful. But then all of a sudden you're out of school, either whether it's high school and you go to college or you go into the service or whatever, but all of a sudden now you're out of it and you're going, you know, and sometimes it's even your folks are going, well, what do you have planned for your future, son?
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm
going to work on the ranch, Dad. That's kind of like what happened to Alan here.
Mm-hmm.
Is when he graduated high school, his mom said, well, Alan, what are your plans? He said, well, I don't know. And she says, I don't know, maybe cowboy here on the ranch. You know, I don't know. And she says, well,
get an education.
She says, well, why don't you go to college?
Mm-hmm.
She says, well, okay. He says, where? He says, well, the U of A. I mm-hmm. said, okay, well, where's that? It's in Tucson. He says, Tucson? Where's that? And his mom says, drive down to Lordsburg, turn right, and you'll find it.
Keep on going. Yeah. All right. With that, I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and take our first break here and be right back with much more on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. So do stay tuned, if you would. We'd sure appreciate it. And we'll be back right after this.
Okay.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
Emil Franzi's Voices of the West will be right back.
Once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right, back in the saddle again.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ole Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000 square foot clubhouse, 200 full service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
The American Legion honors our newest generation of warriors and veterans.
Please join us in supporting and recognizing their unique contributions and needs.
The unemployment rate among veterans is unacceptably high.
They are a proven commodity, and they deserve a chance to get back to work after serving their country.
Hire them. Today, more than ever before, women are on the front lines of America's defense.
They deserve to be recognized for their service as guardians of freedom and to receive the best treatment and care we can provide.
Let's not forget our wounded warriors and their families as they return home. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
They deserve more.
And let's honor the families who sacrifice so much every day.
As the service member serves,
so does the family.
Please join with the American Legion to find out how you can truly honor America's newest generation of veterans. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out more.
Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
One of my favorite TV shows, Death Valley Days, and that's the end theme to that. Here on, you are listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France with you. We're supposed to have our guest, H. Allen Dave, but we've not found him yet. He's out in cyberspace someplace.
He's probably out on the porch, you know, in the hammock.
Enjoying some rain or...
snoozing, you know. He'll wake up about 5:30 and go, oh my
Well, and before the break, we had talked about... the issue of ranch sales and why they went corporate, and you want to pass that on?
Yeah, in fact, a faithful Voices of the West person, Sherrod, she quite often sends us an email or something during the show or comment, and she reminded us that some of the ranches and stuff like that, they were broken up because of estate taxes, you know. Which is still a problem today.
Yeah. Boy, is it ever.
Thank you.
Yes.
And she's a great lady, too. She used to come to all the High Chaparral things, and hopefully someday we'll get some more High Chaparral things together, mm-hmm. and I can visit with her again.
Well,
enjoy her company.
Yeah, and she's been very helpful in sending us information about things going on, and one of the things that she mentioned to us was that Kent McRae passed earlier this month, and Kent was the production manager for the High Chaparral, as well as for the Bonanza television series, as well as. And so at the end of the month, we're going to do our movie themed program honoring and remembering Kent McRae.
Oh, and I called Susan. I didn't get a hold of her because she's doing what widows do, which is, you know, coping. But I left a message with her, my condolences, and the young lady that took the call, I told her that we would be doing the show, dedicating it and honoring him, about him. And she said, oh, Susan will be tickled to death. So for all you High Chaparral fans out there, it's all for him and for you guys.
And I think I still have an interview I did with him at the last High Chaparral reunion that was held here. I'll go search for that.
I haven't heard it. I look forward to that.
Yeah. So it was about 5, 6, 7 minutes, something like that. And the guy was great to talk with.
I have to say that, and I highly recommend his autobiography, but the man was probably one of the most organized production managers ever in the business. He was with some of the top comedians.
Bob Hope?
He did all, not all of them, but when he was working for Hope, he did all of the USO tour shows, which, can you imagine the logistics for Europe or Asia or Vietnam? I mean,
I have enough trouble when I get this stuff set up.
I'll give you a quick story about him.
All right.
I did an interview and they asked me about him, and I said, the man was just unbelievably efficient. He was there, first man on the set, last man off. He says quite often we would do second unit stuff, and he would send us off with Henry Wills, director, stunt coordinator, and second unit director. He'd send us off somewhere to shoot second unit. We'd pull out, and he'd be waving us goodbye, right? We'd pull up to the spot where we're going to unload and get ready to shoot, and he'd be there waiting for us. I told people, I think he's twins. I really do.
Well, and his wife, Susan, she was a casting director, and I think still works in the biz, right?
Well, she's pretty much retired, but I know she does go out and do talks and stuff like that. And she's also a very wonderful lady. She does,
and knowledgeable about a lot.
Her knowledge of the business is awesome.
Yeah.
And she does a lot of charity stuff. And so they, I can't remember the school. I'll know it when we do the show. But there's a school back east. They have one of the theaters is named after Kent because of all of the endowments and all of the work and effort they put in to help the school.
Wow. Well, Mr. DeFrance, we've got some time here.
Let's do some nuggets.
We'll do some nuggets, but if you want to share one of your nuggets, here's how you do it. Call us at 844-908-WEST, 844-908-9378. Now, of course, you have to be listening now, live, because we are live. If you call now, this is a recording. Boy, this is confusing. You'll get a nice message that says,
"You missed us."
Sorry. Nuggets it is. And let's see, we do this kind of...
whenever we get in this spot.
Yeah, well, whenever we get in this spot, but also need to give some disclosure here. You and I have a breakfast every Friday that we possibly can, and shoot the breeze and shoot about.
We tell them the scene of the crime.
Yeah, it's KG's.
Yeah, it's
KG's West Side Cafe, and no kidding. I mean, some good chicken fried steak. I'll tell you. Bottomless cup of coffee. The prices are right.
Yeah.
The service is absolutely entertaining.
Hilarious. they treat us like stepchildren.
Don't they ever? You know, they see us coming in and they start hiding the coffee cups and whatnot. So it's like, really?
That's fun.
So, what do you got?
Well, first of all, just talk about the nuggets. They can be 14 karat or solid brass. Mm-hmm. We don't care because we just want to be amused too.
Yeah.
So, you know, call us, please. Now, just kind of to explain what nuggets is I'm constantly going around to the libraries and looking at my books and stuff and taking little snippets or notes and things that for later use. Mm-hmm. But like now, you know.
Yep.
And a lot of it is just nothing.
It's a good thing you remembered those and didn't leave them in the truck.
Yeah, well, I take them with me everywhere. But because I also see it's blank on the backside, uh-huh. So I have more space to write them. But just to give
you know, that's the way they used to write back in the day because paper was so scarce. Yeah. You'd get a letter, read it, and then you'd respond on that same sheet of paper,
well,
turning it over.
This paper here, this comes from Barnes & Noble. This is the paper that they put under your tray
uh-huh.
if you get a bowl of soup or a sandwich there. And they make perfect. You know, here, let me show you here.
Alrighty then.
Here's the whole reef of them.
Okay. So it looks like onion skin.
Yeah. Well, it's got texture on it. It's got little swirls and stuff.
Ooh, doggies.
But the nice thing about it is that the pen really grabs it well.
Okay.
Anyhow, the first one, we're going to start out here, the first one, and it's a TV movie.
Okay.
And it's Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke.
Return to Dodge 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 100-minute in color, of course. Director was Vincent McAvity, who was a great directed a ton of Gunsmokes and other stuff. And the cast, of course, included James Arness, Amanda Blake, Buck Taylor, Fran Ryan, Earl Holliman, and Steve Forrest. And the storyline in this one is Dylan returns to Dodge and Miss Kitty after 12 years, trailed by ruthless adversaries. And that had to be Earl Holliman and Steve Forrest.
All right.
Forrest could be ruthless.
Boy, could he ever. You know, we have a phone call here, and great. I believe it is on our guest line. So I'm going to take that leap here and think that – oops, push that button once more time. Take the magic leap here and figure that this must be Mr. H. Allen Day. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Allen. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Harry. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Were you taking a nap out there on the porch and cooling that cool weather up there?
Well, we've had some rain, and it's pretty unusual for this time of year.
You're up in the Pine Top area, right?
Yes, I'm in Pine Top.
Well, we had a I'd say almost 24 hours of rain here.
Yeah. A little tropical system that...
Well...
came around.
It's a little early for that. I hope it continues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think the first day of the rain is the first day of the 54 dew point, and I don't go by the modern thing where they say on the 15th that's the first day of monsoon. It's after 3 days of 54, if then.
Well, I have my own things about the National Weather Service that. Sometimes I wonder if the National Weather Service here can forecast their way out of a paper bag. I've done meteorology. Go ahead.
I think they're better than they used to be.
There you go. They're better than they used to be. But I dabbled in some meteorology in Florida when I lived there, and holy mackerel, things change right fast, and you got to be prepared for them. Anyway, H. Allen Day is our guest. He's an author and the author of a new latest book here. It is called, get it out here, yep.
Cowboy Up.
Cowboy Up, getting the cover. There we go. Cowboy Up, Life Lessons on the Lazy Bee. Tell us about it. What's the impetus behind this one?
Well, it's a book of short stories, and they're just short stories that have to do with ranching, but not necessarily all about cows and horses. There actually is a little bit of a story or two about flying, and I actually was in meteorology. I learned how to seed the clouds and yep. used to go up and seed the clouds and mm-hmm. try to make it rain, and so...
you had a couple of adventures
what we're
there,
just talking
you?
About. I'm, Well, I flew a lot and flew between ranches, had a couple of ranches and, you know, would go back and forth with the airplane. So it was really a tool I used.
Mm-hmm. You know, Alan, I wish you'd tell me the story, or I read it in the book, but tell our listeners the story about how you bought the plane and you went over to the aviation center, your old fraternity brothers there, and you talked them into a flying lesson, and what happened after that?
Well, I, being a dumb cowboy, I guess, I just had a lot of confidence that I could fly, and I thought, well, I can fly this little plane. It's easy, you know, planes aren't that hard to fly.
Exactly.
And I thought, I'll go out and fly it. Well, I didn't tell Tony, my fraternity brother, the instructor, I didn't tell him I'd never had a lesson. I, in fact, lied to him and said, oh, I'm a pilot and I know how to fly. And he said, well, okay, let's go fly. So he never touched the controls. You know, I got in and he said, well, give it the power, take off. And I did. And he said, turn right, turn left. And well, planes are pretty easy to turn right and turn left, about like mm-hmm. a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were doing fine. And so he finally said, well, you're doing great. Let's shoot a few landings and I'll turn you loose. I'll let you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're lined up on final, which this was my first landing ever in my life, ever. So we're lined up on final, and I knew to round out, you know, to level out and mm-hmm. fly parallel with the ground and let it settle down, but I didn't know when to start to round out, you know, uh-huh. so I was still descending and just flew it into the ground, you know, and so I hit the ground. Lucky I didn't tear the gear off because I really hit it hard. And the plane bounced up about 30 feet in the air, and Tony came unglued. He had never touched the controls to that point. And he grabbed it and straightened it out and got us down. He said, damn, Al, that was a pretty poor landing. I said, Tony, that's the worst landing I ever made. I didn't follow up with that's my only landing. Anyway, that was my... And so he said, well, the story kind of goes on. He said, well, take it around. That was pretty bad. Let's shoot some more. And so they got better. I figured out when to start rounding out. So we shot about three landings. And by this time, I figured I needed some instruction. So I said, well, Tony, I have to tell you, I've never flown before. Oh, he was angry. Oh, my goodness. He was mad. He said, stop this airplane right here out on the tarmac.
What
he got out and just stalked off.
What kind of aircraft was it?
It was a Piper Tri-Pacer, a little fabric single engine, tiny little plane. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, so the next day I had to take him out that night and bought about a case of beer to get him in a good mood. You know, we drink a little beer together. And, yeah, and so then the next day with hangovers, I show up and he. He said, well, come on, let's fly. So we flew around and landed about three times. And he said, I'm getting out. So he got out and he soloed me. After about maybe an hour and 20 minutes of instruction, I mm-hmm. soloed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but luckily there was no crosswind, no wind. You know, it was about as good a conditions as there could be. And so he got out. And so I went around and made three landings and they were good ones. And he said, now get this airplane off this field. I don't want you here anymore. I don't like the way you treated me. Now get out of here. So I'm faced with my first solo cross country.
Oh, no.
Which is 200 miles over to the ranch. And I have 1 hour of instruction, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, Tony, I don't know how high to fly. I don't know how to work the radio. I don't know if I have enough fuel. You know, how am I supposed to get from here over to the ranch? And he said, well, you drove in on the highway, didn't you? And I said, yeah. He said, then follow the damn highway and get out of here.
Oh, that
so I did.
Even. He was getting even.
Are you guys still
he
friends?
He was, and he should have.
Are you guys still friends?
Yes.
And fraternity
he's
brothers.
Actually retired up in Minnesota, and I talked to him not too long ago, and right. he still doesn't remember that real fondly.
Nice. We're talking with H. Allen Day, author of a latest book called Cowboy Up, Stories of Growing Up on the Lazy Bee. or cowboy stories of the Lazy Bee. And we do have to take a break here, so we'll be right back with much more happening. Alan, I'm going to put you in the queue there so you can hear what's going on. So do stay tuned, folks. We'll be back with much more of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West right after this.
Up in the morning at the break of day, you'll hear a big bearded cowboy at the chuck wagon say, "Gather round, boys, the coffee's hot on the fire. There's a full day of branding, we're heating the irons. I want to smell that scorched hair and burning hide. The horses are grain, boys, they're ready to ride. Roll up your bedrolls and jump in your boots. Daylight is a-wasting, boys, it's out of the chutes. Come on and ride, cowboy, ride."
Emil Franzi's Voices of the West will be right back.
When looking for a property management company, here are some things you should consider. How long has the company been in business? What types of properties can they manage for you? And does the company give back to the community? Well, your search is over. The Polash Management Company meets and exceeds those considerations. They've been in business in Tucson, Arizona since the 1960s. They manage all types of properties throughout Arizona and elsewhere, from residential to commercial to public sector properties. The Polash Management Company also dedicates its time and resources to numerous community projects, including help funding the drive for the USS Arizona Memorial at the University of Arizona. You also want a property management company that puts you, the customer, first. Contact the Polash Management Company today at polashmanagement.com and ask about the complete package, or call 520-795-2100. That's 520-795-2100. The Polash Management Company, property managers you can trust.
You know, one way to really tell if you're at a restaurant that really cares about the food it serves? If it has one, check the bar. You don't have to be much of a drinker to know which liquors are quality. That's why you can tell that Highfalutin, that rapid-fire Western grill at 6780 North Oracle, just south of Ina, really takes pride in what it does by the quality of the liquor it serves and the beer on tap. The choices at the bar are as broad as the menu at Highfalutin, and even the well drinks are more than acceptable. Unlike some places where they just come with a barcode. If a restaurant doesn't care about the quality of its drinks, they've cut corners on the food. Highfalutin never has cut either and never will. Highfalutin, 6780 North Oracle, open daily for lunch and dinner with great sandwiches, salads, pastas, steaks, and comfort foods like pot roast and meatloaf, and even for an occasional drink.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Hey, this is Robert Fuller, Jess Harper from Laramie, and we're listening to the Voices of the West.
Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
And And we are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West for a Saturday afternoon here in Tucson, Arizona, broadcasting out of the beautiful Bruce Ash Studios. Bit rainy today, but hey, that's okay.
Beautiful rain.
Yeah, we can always use the rain. We're talking with our guest today, and that is H. Allen Day. And he is an author. He's got a couple of books out, like three books out. And we're talking about the latest one here called The Cowboy Up. And it's quite a tome. Alan, you were telling us some stories. And Bunker, did you have another story that you wanted to get in there?
One of the things I wanted to say, though, is reading the book, Alan, we'll call you Alan or Al. I noticed you.
Alan is fine, or either one. Hey, you works.
We'll call you for supper then.
Just don't call you late for dinner.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Reading the book, I really enjoyed it because you love something when you really identify with what the guy is saying. And one of the things I got to say is you read a lot of these books and the guy's a Ned Nugget from Connecticut and doesn't know a thing about what he's writing. But I'll tell you what, I didn't read a thing in here that I didn't believe and that I didn't know it happened, because I've seen it happen and been around it. But I have a question for you, and and Harry probably wants to know the answer to this as well. But you tell a story about your grandfather and Geronimo, and Harry has a Geronimo connection.
Yeah, my great granddad was with B Troop 4th U.S. Cav, and was in on the one of the guards when Geronimo was sent off to Florida. What's your story there?
Well, I'm not even sure it was Geronimo. I led off saying it was during the time of Geronimo. But anyway, my granddad went over some Lazy Bee horses straight over to Animas, New Mexico, and he went over to get them back. And he was driving them back to Lazy Bee, and he camped out overnight because it was a quite a few miles. And while he was in his bedroll, he heard the Indians stirring around, and they stole all his horses. And he opted to stay in his bedroll and not get up and try to make a fight. But he thought, let me save my life and give them the horses, which is the way it turned out.
Wise move.
And so was it Geronimo or was it some of his buddies?
Mm-hmm.
We never did really know. Mm-hmm. But it was during the time that Geronimo was... was roaming around and had everybody really frightened.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind, there's a little story, and I don't even think it's in the book, but it's along those lines. We had a cowboy camped out in a line camp down at what we called Old Camp. And so he was out checking the cattle one day, and somebody came by and left a note saying, the Indians are on the rampage, be careful, or words to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Scared him really badly. So when he got in, he saddled a fresh horse, and he said, I'm not staying here. So he started toward Duncan, which was the nearest town. And so it got dark on him, and there was partial moonlight. But anyway, the terrain that he was riding through had a bunch of big yucca plants, and a lot of them grew up tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the top is kind of rounded, is kind of bushy and rounded.
Right.
So in the moonlight, they were tall enough to be a man on horse, and the rounded head looked like a man's head.
Mm-hmm.
So he's galloping along, headed to Duncan, and these things apparently didn't move with him, because as he's moving, they look like they're moving.
Oh, boy.
So his imagination was so vivid that he could see these were galloping men that were keeping pace with him these yuccas.
How many did he shoot?
And, he was just trying to get away. So when he got into Duncan, he just kept riding faster and faster, thinking he was going to get away from them. He finally made it into Duncan. He never would go back out to that camp again. It scared him too bad. And he said, I'm not going back out there ever again.
That's too funny. That is just too funny.
I can just see that happening with those yuccas, and you're bouncing when you're galloping.
That happened to me when I was a kid. We were out at a camp, and a bunch of us kids were out there, and of course, you started hearing yowls and stuff up in the hills, and who knows what it was. Probably just a dog or something. But we you know, the campfires, it's getting darker and darker, and just the embers. We're getting ourselves, we talked ourselves into, it's mountain lions that are coming down to get us. Boy, we booked it out of there faster than you can believe. Our folks said, what are you guys doing back here?
Yeah, well, it's so easy to scare yourself in that situation that it can be very real.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I was
reading here that your dad, he built, your granddad established the ranch, and your dad built it up to 200,000 acres. And so a lot of folks listening, that the ranch, it straddled Arizona and New Mexico south of Duncan and towards and down about south of the Gila River.
That's correct.
Now, I got another thing here for you, because I really identified with this, and this is kind of quoting you. As a kid, the only ranch rule was to be home by supper, and I know that rule real well.
Yes, well, you know, parenting was a lot different then, and I see these parents, you know, not wanting to let their children be exposed to, because they might get hurt or they, you know, things, and it was certainly different back when I was raised, and it was like, if you think you can do it, if you can saddle up and open the trail gate and ride out, you can be gone as long as you want. You can go anywhere you want. And if you get hurt, then it's your problem. And I think parenting was a lot different back then. And I'm probably it's better now, but it surely did teach each of us self-sufficiency and, you know, problem solving, because when something would come up, you better, solved it, or you got you hurt, or you got lost, or something.
Better able to survive. I think you and me are about the same age. I was born in 1940.
Well, I was 39, so yeah, you're just a pup.
I'm just a pup. Well, it's glad to know I'm younger than somebody. Now, I know you managed the ranch for 40 years. You sold it in 94. You were a graduate of U of A. When you were at the U of A, I know... did you ever work on any of the movies that were shot in the area? Because I know a lot of times the cowboy extras would be made up of guys from the area, and some of them were, you know, from the U of A.
Well, the U of A rodeo team and some of those cowboys did. I never had a horse over in Tucson when I was there. I left my horses on the ranch. So, no, I was not a part of the movie scene there.
Well, speaking of horses...
So.
Tell me about Chico. I understand it was your first Mustang.
Well, Chico was probably babysat me as much as my mother did. And was just this wonderful little, had been caught from a herd of wild horses. And was a little smaller than most of our ranch horses, so the cowboys didn't want to ride him because, you know, great big guy with a big saddle. So... They turned him over to me, and Chico was just the best kid horse I can ever imagine. He was so sweet and so kind, and he would just take care of whoever was riding him. And however much you were able to do as a rider, he would let you do it. But if you ask him for something that he didn't think you should do, he wouldn't do it. And so he just would just take care of who was riding him, and it was always kind of funny. I was always trying to go faster and do more than I was capable of, and so I'd fall off once in a while. He'd jump over a little ditch or something, and I'd fall off, and of course in my world it was always his fault. He jumped wrong or something, and I'd fall off, and of course I'd thump my nose or whatever, and I'd be crying, and I'd blame him, and he'd stop. He wouldn't go back to the barn. He wouldn't leave. He'd stop, and he would just stand there. So I'd get up, and I'd be crying, and I'd kick him in the shins, and I'd say, damn horse, you know. And it wasn't his fault, of course. It was always my fault. But, that's how kids are. Mm-hmm. And he'd just stand there and patiently wait, and I'd get back on him, and away we'd go. And, you know, when you have somebody that takes that good a care of you, you know, wow, you never forget that.
For sure. Hold on. We're talking with H. Allen Day. He's an author, and his latest book is called Cowboy Up. He's got two more books out. We're going to talk about those. But first, we got to finish up with our last commercial break here. So do stay tuned for that. Allen, I'll put you back on the hold there so you can hear what in the world is going on. So, folks, do stay tuned. We'll be back with much more of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West right after this.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rolling rawhide. Through rain and wind and weather, hell bent for leather, wishing my gal was by my side.
Emil Franzi's Voices of the West will be right back.
Keep them doggies moving rawhide.
Let's face it, nobody wants to get old, but it's a fact of life. It's going to happen. So with that in mind, you need to plan for the inevitable for you and for your loved ones. That's why you should consult attorneys Ron Zach and Chanel Schmitz. Their practice is all about elder law, putting together wills and trusts, and estate planning. They're committed to make a difference for you and your loved ones. Let them help you plan for the future. Call 520-664-3420 or visit them on the web at TucsonEstatePlanning.com. That's 520-664-3420 or TucsonEstatePlanning.com.
Imus Wilkinson Investments, 777-1911, is a unique investment management firm. They pay little attention to where the market indicators are because smart investment management goes way beyond checking stock exchanges. They are very good at managing all types of investment based on client expectations. They build relationships, and they want clients, not customers. My family is proudly included among them, and they'll help you, as they did us, design a portfolio that achieves what you want when you need it. Imus Wilkinson Investments, they're really good at what they do. 777-1911.
Are you partial to the Old West of its ways? Like watching Old West movies with cowboys running cattle over sprawling rangeland? Do you have a passion for Old West history? If you answered yes to any of those questions, then you ought to join the Empire Ranch Foundation as a member. The nonprofit was started to help preserve the historic Empire Ranch in Southeast Arizona and the ways of the Old West. It's one of the last great cattle ranches of the Old West and the site for numerous movies like Monty Walsh, Red River, and The 310 to Yuma. Your membership will help preserve the historic ranch buildings, get you special ticket prices to all Empire Ranch events, and being with others who share your passion for the Old West. Learn more at EmpireRanchFoundation.org or call 888-364-2829. That's EmpireRanchFoundation.org or 888-364-2829.
Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
And we are talking about cowboys. That's the theme from the motion picture of the cowboys.
To a real cowboy.
To a real cowboy. We're talking to a real cowboy today. His name is H. Allen Day, and he's on the line with us from Pine Top. He's got a book out, a number of books out, actually. The latest one is called Cowboy Up, and we're going to pop that up there on the screen. But, Allen, you've also got a couple of other books out that we want to talk about, too, and those are up on the screen now as well, along with Cowboy Up. We got Horse Lover and Lazy Bee. So let's talk a little bit about those before we get into something else.
Let's talk about
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead. I interrupted you.
My big sister, Sandra Day O'Connor, got me started writing. She called me one time and said, "Well, Allen, I think you and I should write a book together." And she wanted to write a book about us being raised on the ranch. And, you know, she was raised in the same place I was, just she's 10 years older than I. So she went through the same things I did, but just a little earlier. And so I did didn't have any writing experience. My main writing was signing checks, you know, and I had no idea.
If you want to write, you know, go ahead.
How to write a book or what all. So I, of course, you don't tell Sandra no too often. So I said, well, you don't, you know. So
yeah, big sisters
anyway,
are
like I
that.
Said, well, you know, how are we going to go about this? You know, what's the format? You know, what are we going to do? And her answer was, she said, well, get a legal pad and a number two pencil and go to work. And so that was not the exact writing introduction that I wanted, but
kind of like
she and I wrote the Lazy Bee book. Yeah, it was about the same, yes. So anyway, but that turned out to be you know, a real bestseller with her name on it, of course. But it was Random House has actually put that in their classic mm-hmm. book department now. So it's you know, a well-respected book. And so that was so much fun, and I enjoyed the writing. And she and I got together several times and spent days, you know, writing and comparing notes and things. But when I got through, I thought, well, you've written half a book. Now the next step is you better write a whole book.
Yeah, there you go.
So I had a wonderful experience in my life. I had bought a ranch. I was still managing Lazy Bee there in Arizona, but I bought a ranch in South Dakota, and therefore the plane going back and forth. But anyway, wanted to be entrepreneurial with that ranch, so I created and persuaded the government to go along with it. I put the first wild horse sanctuary, private wild horse sanctuary in the country on that ranch. And the BLM provided these excess unadoptable wild horses. And I took 1,500 of those Mustangs and took care of them on that ranch. And while I had them, I made friends with them. I did what's now called horse whisper training on those mm-hmm. horses and made friends with them. And they got to where they knew me, and I'd ride out, and instead of running away from me, these wild horses, we claim to love them, but we're their worst enemy. You know, we cause all the trauma in their life. We chase them with helicopters, and mm-hmm. we break yep. up their family units, and, you know, we are their worst enemy. And so I invented a training program and became really good friends with the horses, to where I could ride out in the middle of the herd, and they'd look up and they'd say, "Oh, it's you. What do you want?" You know, and it was really cool.
That's cool. That is way cool. And Cowboy Up is just a collection of stories about you and Sandra growing up on the ranch. Is that correct?
Mostly him.
Or mostly,
mostly me. The one that Sandra's in the most of is that Lazy Bee book, the first mm-hmm. one. And so she wrote half of it. I wrote half of it. And the second one is called The Horse Lover. And that's about the wild horse sanctuary and all the adventures I had with those wild horses, which were just, it was really, really the best part of my life is dealing with those wonderful wild horses.
Yep. So do you have another yellow pad and number two pencil going? Are you working on another one?
Well, I am, and I've written a novel.
Oh.
And within the last week, I put the final touches on it, and I'm actually going to take it out and see if some publisher wants to buy it.
Nice.
If he's got any class, he will, because
well,
you're a good writer.
Yeah, and you've gotten great recommendations from a number of folks that we know, Johnny Boggs, Marshall Trimble, and so forth. So, yeah, we'll be looking for that.
Now, the ranch up in the South Dakota, that was the Mustang Meadows Ranch, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
I have a question about that area. That was up around the Sand Hills. Was that anywhere near White River?
It was quite close to White River, yes. And part of, in fact, the Little White River ran through the north part of the ranch. And part of the ranch was on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation, you know, and we leased a little land from the tribe.
Guys, and, we are plumb out of time. Unfortunately, we are plumb out of time. Alan, we want to have you back.
I got too many questions. Yeah, I got pages and pages.
Just to talk more about your book. So
love
we appreciate you spending some time with us this afternoon. I'll get a hold of Lynn, and we'll coordinate another interview with you because you're just a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate our conversation.
It is our pleasure, and we appreciate you being with us today on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. And next week on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, I reckon we're going to be doing some cowboy poetry.
Right.
That's at least the plan. So we'll see what happens.
A little
there.
Bird up in the sky dropped some whitewash in my eye. I didn't shout. I didn't cry. I just thank God the cows can't fly.
France is a poet and he doesn't know it. That's it for us for today, folks. So thank you so much for joining us here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. And we'll be back with you next time. And that'll be next Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. So thanks a lot for joining us today.
Don't forget, we're going to exactly the scripture.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.